The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
They don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Actually, you think you're the best thing since sliced bread, given all these nutritional folks coming out and saying this sliced white bread is bad for you. It's not good. A lot of empty calories. Heavily glutenized. So really, I could be the worst thing since sliced bread. You really got to watch your cliches because they shift all over the place. Very nice to have you with me. Dr. Ray Guarendi, the program here, The Doctor Is In. Number to call is 8. That's it. That's all the numbers I'm going to give you. If you want to call in, you'll have to figure it out. No, I'll tell you in a second here, but I got to do some thanks first. I want to thank the folks at Valley City. What a nice series of speaking engagements there last week. Very nice. Thank you so very much. Also, I want to thank the folks in Fargo, North Dakota, Real Presence Radio Turf. What a nice bunch of folks. They turned out a whole nice crowd. All four shows, the TV show, Living Bread with Dr. Ray. Nice audiences. Very, very nice. And thank you for everything you've done over that way. All the folks, Lynn and Lori, Anna and Sunshine, everybody. Dustin, thank you so very much. And then, of course, the folks down in South Carolina, Greenville. Just this past weekend down there at the Marian Conference. Wonderful, warm visit. So thank you all so very, very much. What do we got going on here? 877, I'll give you the whole number, 573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call to get onto the program. If you have a question about something in your life, someone in your life, some place in your life, something in your life, meaning money, in your life, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do. It's my official title. In the office, I can do therapy or I can diagnose, give a lot of ideas and explore and probe and try to figure out what's going on and try to figure out what to do better for the folks with their help. Here on the radio, we can just give you some thoughts, some ideas, a few pieces, bits of wisdom, or a half bit, or a wit, or a half wit of wisdom. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number. Over the weekend in Canton, Ohio, they had trick-or-treat from 3 to 5. And I made it back from South Carolina by 1:30 in time to get to trick-or-treating. Now, obviously, I am a little old for trick-or-treating. However, if I sent you a picture of my stash that I took in from 3 to 5, you'd be shocked. Shocked. How do I do it? I'll tell you that in a second. I know Andrew Krucek, my producer man, does not want me to do my Halloween monologue, and I was not going to, but here's what happened. I got an interview request. The folks from Trick or Treat Today. Yeah, the September issue, Trick or Treat Today. And they asked me of my success over the years. And, of course, the first thing I did is I kept finding younger parents with younger kids, and then I'd go with them. So right now, Mark and Christy, my friends, they have 6 children, and their oldest now is 20 or 21, so he doesn't go anymore, amateur. He did go 2 years ago with me, and I showed him how to do it. But they still got the couple of younger ones, Ben and Timmy. So we went, and it was great. Now, was it 3 years ago? Yeah, it was Timmy. Timmy right now, I think, is 10. 10, Well, 3 years ago, this is really sad. This is tragic. About an hour into trick-or-treating, he said, I think I have enough. Now, his dad and I looked at each other. I didn't want to accuse his father of being a failure as a parent. But he accused himself. He said, where'd I go wrong? What happened? Well, interestingly enough, Timmy wasn't feeling good at all this year. But he went out. And not only did he go out, but for 2 hours he ran from house to house. And it was hard for me because I had to keep up with him. All right, let me give you a couple of my consultant tips for trick-or-treating, those of you who still have trick-or-treating coming up. The most important thing is you have to do a mathematical calculation. For example, we went to this neighborhood where these houses were huge. They were oh gosh, I don't know, $500,000 to $800,000 houses, maybe more. Now, in California, those of you listening in California, that's a garage. But here in northeastern Ohio, that's a big house. The problem is they have big yards. They all gave full-size candy bars, all of them. Not a single one of them gave a midgie or a snack size. We used to call them midgies when I was a kid. That's what they are. The problem is you get it, but it takes you a while to walk to the next house. So the first calculation you have to do is distance between houses divided by the size of the candy bar. That's big. It's really important. It's a calculation. You can do it. I've got an algorithm that does it. So once we went through the big neighborhood, we went into a smaller neighborhood. Nice houses, very nice, but they were close together. They didn't really give full-size candy bars. I think one every 20 or 25 houses gave a full-size candy bar. But we could move real quick. Didn't have to go out onto the street and then back up the driveway. Now, you look for those houses, and there's more of this. There never used to be this. People sitting at the end of their driveway. That's huge. You gain about, I'd say, close to 30 to 40 seconds not having to go up to the door. That's big. So right there at the end of the driveway. I have found personally myself, I just tell them, you have to have certain lines. I say, for example, one of the best lines I use is, wow, Twixt. Those are my favorites. And then, you know, whatever they have is my favorite. I say, oh, wow, Reese's. Those are my favorites. The women are really pretty good at that. They'll give you, say, well, here, take one. They're pretty good. The guys, they're a little tougher, but they give more. They'll say, just take three of them. Go for it. Oh, thanks. Thanks, man. And then you put them in your pocket, and then you empty your pocket every so often into a bag carried by somebody else. Now, I could post my take. You would be shocked. You'd be shocked. I didn't grovel anywhere near as much as I did last year. Last year, we must have gone to, I'd say, maybe 60 houses, 65. Only two. Didn't give me some candy. This year, I didn't push too hard. Sometimes somebody would say, what's your costume? And I said, I'm a 13-year-old girl going as an aging psychologist. Pretty good, isn't it? And if they giggled and laughed, then they would give me something. So those are some of the treats. Now, this is huge. Don't start early and quit early. I used to say to folks when they planned speaking engagements, I'd say, well, you're gonna double your attendance in the time between 5 till the scheduled time and 5 after. You will. If you're going to give a parish talk and you got 50 people sitting out there, between 5 till and 5 after, another 50 are going to come in. Same thing with trick-or-treating. You're going to double your take in that last 10 minutes before it's over. Why? Because people don't want to bring that stuff back in their house. We went to a couple houses yesterday, day before, and the guy said, just take as much as you want. Take the whole bowl if you want. Yeah, they want to get rid of it. That's huge. You can really jump your access during that last couple of minutes. That's very important. Do not, under any circumstances, quit early. Start late if you have to. Maybe if you don't think you can last very long, go start a half an hour before quitting time. You'll still do okay. And make sure also that you got the ones with the big bowls. The big bowls are huge because they got a lot of stuff in there. Every once in a while, you'll have people sitting out with cardboard tables, and they will have four or five different bowls. It's like the candy buffet. You can pick. So, how did I do? I had about 80% of my take from the year before, which isn't bad for not having a costume. Those are just a few pointers. If you still got trick-or-treating left, those are a few pointers. Might help you out. The biggest thing is the distance per size of the candy bar ratio. That's huge. I mean, you could get a huge candy bar, but then the house is 200 yards away from somebody else's. So yeah, that's important. That's important to remember. Okay? You can do a study if you just take, for example, in a smaller neighborhood, go 10 houses and then weigh the candy bars. What's the weight for 10 houses? How long did it take you? You go to the bigger neighborhoods, weigh it, and you probably get in 3 houses. So check the gross tonnage. That's big. Just a few thoughts. If you want more details, just look up Trick or Treat Today, the September issue, and I'm complete there with pictures and some of the major candy bars I brought in. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Do I have to tell you there is no Trick or Treat Today?
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. But it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. Where there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You know, that music reminds you of like a 1960s sitcom. You know, you can just see somebody kind of bopping down the street, waving hi to everybody. Kind of like on these pharmaceutical commercials. Did you ever notice that? Everybody on these medication pharmaceutical commercials is laughing uproariously. They're dancing and they're happy. Wow. That stuff is really potent. All righty. Let's see where we got to go. Guy wants to share a story. I'll make this quick because we got an alienation situation up there, which I believe is a generational thing, and I wish more shrink types would talk about it. Dennis Prager's talked about it a lot. Okay, can I pick up Guy yet? Are you still screening Guy? I can go. All right, Guy's gonna give us something. Trick-or-treating 60 years ago. Oh, man, compared to today. Yeah, that's true. I just will say this, guy, before I go to you. About half the houses we went to yesterday or Sunday did not have their lights on. They weren't home. You never, when I was a kid, put your house on trick-or-treat night with nobody home. That just, you were taking your life into your hands even though you weren't there. That just didn't happen. You stayed there and you guarded the place. The other thing is, we had beggar's night, we had Halloween night, and then we had post-Halloween night. You could go 3 nights. None of this two-hour stuff, and you went out at 6 o'clock, and you came home at 9:30. Guy, how was it for you?
I'll tell you right now, we leave the house at 5 o'clock at night. I get home by 11 at night.
That's right.
But people come home, dump the candy on the table, mom and dad will go through it, and we got back after candy was thrown out because they wanted to make sure everyone eaten all the junky candy. But then we were, I guess, given like a candy bar for lunch, you know, without lunch.
You know the difference, guy? Do you know why you went out for 6 hours? Because when you were a kid, I'm going to guess, candy was not something you got. It was a rare treat to bring in that much candy.
Right. Yep.
You had to make that baby last for several months. Nowadays, these kids, they got candies because they breathe. You go to McDonald's, you get candies. You go anywhere, you get candy. So candy doesn't have the specialness that it did when we were kids.
Yeah, I go back. I'm going back 60 years. I am 71, 11, 12 years old. My parents, we had, back then, obviously, you probably know that, we had no worries about people hurting us.
No, you didn't. You went out at night. You went out at night just with your buddies.
You mentioned about the lights being on and off. Everybody had the lights on.
You did not leave your house on Halloween night. That was
never
crazy. Yeah, I know. Guy, thank you for the call, my friend. I appreciate
God bless you, doctor.
You're bringing back memories. Oh, it was so different when I was a kid. Okay, where are we going? Let's go to Joe. He is calling from somewhere USA, so we can't really narrow that down. But he is calling with such a sad, sad situation. And I got to tell you, when I get these calls or I get these folks coming into my office for these kinds of situations, it's hard to know why exactly they were written off. I would say at least part of the time, the grandparents didn't realize how upset they were making the in-law or the child that they raised by saying things. And then finally, they weren't reading the cues good enough. And then finally, the young adult said, I don't want anything more to do with you. Joe, what's going on? Hello, Joe.
Good afternoon. Nice show. Hello.
Appreciate it, sir.
Good afternoon.
What is, in your understanding of the scenario, what's the reason that they no longer want to have anything to do with you?
Well, it's that and my wife for 37 years. The children are in their mid-30s.
So they wrote off your wife and you're part of the package deal?
Well, both of us, you know, grandma was watching the children. They're only 2 and 4. I don't even know the 2-year-old grandson. I have no bond with him at all, nor really the 4-year-old granddaughter. But really, seen him very limited times, probably, you know, within like 10 hours or.
So let's get back to why do you think that is, Joe? Let's get back to why do you think that is.
Okay, so here's the thing. Well, because I think the new generation they don't want to tolerate fraternal correction.
So, in other words, you did give opinions about things, you and your wife, and they didn't like it at all.
Well, put it this way. For example, if grandma came in the house and they're 40-pound dog, all the time there was a party, and it would push on grandma or hurt her because they didn't control their animal. Instead of controlling the animal, they would say, well, dad doesn't like the dog, which wasn't true. It was just the fact that I didn't like the dog being out of control. And
well, Joe, it's one thing not to like the dog. Wait a minute. Joe, it's one thing not to like the dog, but that can't be it. There's got to be, well, okay, unless your young ones there are just incredibly intolerant of anybody saying anything they don't want to hear, there had to be other things said that you didn't realize they were taking as badly as they did. Is that safe to say?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, there's a, obviously in the family dynamic, whomever they chose to be their spouse has history. So let's say, you know, the son-in-law, for example, has never really had a dad. Okay, well, he's not looking to me to be a dad. He wants to be his own man. And I respect that.
Well, Joe, that still doesn't explain it. Doesn't explain, okay, you don't have to be his dad, but it still doesn't explain why they've written you off for several years. Do you know why that is?
I believe it's because they want to set their children up for what they call success. We already had a men's letter, and we sent, we had a talk with them, and they're just highly scheduled people who live in the same town or near us, and they refuse to take, you know, just to be family. And I think it's in part due to social media as well, because often.
Okay, so let me. I know we're going to bump up against a break, Joe, and I don't want to have to cut you off. So what are you asking? Are you saying how do I reconnect, or are you saying how do I deal with the fact that for right now they don't have anything to do with us?
It's neither. I just want to make it known that this is a crisis that is seldom talked about. Whether I get a result or not, I'm not worried about that. But I'm sure certain other grandparents are going through the same thing, especially
Joe. If you've listened to this show for, let's say, maybe 9 minutes, you will have heard this come up. This is huge. This is one of the most common dynamics of grandparents, especially those who are still living the faith, compared to kids who have drifted from the faith, compared to kids who have gone to therapists who have told them, your parents are toxic, you need to set up boundaries, they're triggers. That happens all the time, sadly. Sadly. Because most therapists really don't follow any kind of religious perspective. So given that, it's not unusual. And Joe, I'm telling you, before I took your call, I made the observation that this is an epidemic now. This is everywhere. And I said, for me as a shrink, the hardest part in this, now I can do it better in therapy because I can ask a lot more questions. The hardest part in this is to go back and find out what kinds of things went on, what kind of things were said, etc. Went on. And in many cases, nothing. The grandparents didn't do anything. It's just that an in-law, particularly an in-law, just didn't like them and decided we're going to live our own lives and I don't want them in it. I routinely tell grandparents, and sound like you did this, Joe, which is, okay, go back and apologize for whatever it was, even if you don't even know what it was. Try to find out what it was and apologize for it and make a commitment. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say anything more about how you're raising the kids. I'm not going to say anything more about the fact you haven't baptized them. I'm not going to do any of that. That's the one chance you got. Now, my experience is about 50-50. That doesn't make any difference. But at least it's a better shot than nothing at all, Joe. God bless you. Good luck. I hope they soften up. Let those grandkids back in your life. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Sure love to talk to you. Or talk at you, whatever.
comes to your mind when you hear the word passion? Passion often signifies intensity of emotions and feelings, frequently in terms of lust. But the Catholic Catechism tells us passions are neither good nor bad in and of themselves. In other words, passions are morally good if they contribute to a good action, and evil if they bring about the opposite result. The most fundamental passion is love, says the Catechism. It is aroused by attraction to the good, the desire to attain the good, and fulfilled by joy and pleasure once the good is possessed. Evil, on the other hand, arouses hatred, aversion, and fear. Passions are the passageway connecting the senses and the mind. Jesus said the source of all passions was the human heart. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
In the 8th Rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, St. Ignatius encourages us to be patient in an experience of spiritual desolation. What type of patience is St. Ignatius inviting us to? He writes in Rule 8, "Let one who is in desolation work to be in patience, which is contrary to the vexations which come to him." St. Ignatius understood the very real struggle within the human heart to be patient while experiencing the trial of spiritual desolation, an experience that can cause us to doubt God's plan of loving goodness for us. St. Ignatius invites us to a patient endurance during spiritual desolation. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "A faithful patience that will not surrender in time of trial, but which actively and courageously perseveres until the trial passes and peace of heart returns."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Ed is my main man, spelled M-A-I-N-E, Ed from Maine. Hello, Ed.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for waiting.
Okay. I got a funeral to go to tomorrow. A brother-in-law died unexpectedly. And I was told through the, well, my mother told me this, my ex is going to be there from 8 years ago, and I don't want to have anything to do with her. I'm actually scared of her.
Whoa. Why? Was she going to punch you?
She was nasty during the last year of our marriage. She was nasty during the divorce. She was nasty. She sent me some nasty grams, and I've done everything in my power. I haven't been to a local Walmart. Because I don't want to run into her.
Yikes! Come on, Ed. Come on. It's, you know what? Hold on. Okay, you're sounding like, for example, most of what she did was just nastiness in words or manipulation. All right, that was 8 years ago. How are you going to let her still constrict your freedom?
What? Excuse me, why? Because she has not let me see the kids. I haven't seen my kids in 8 years.
Oh, well,
yeah,
wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. Are you paying child support?
Yes, I am.
Well, then you have a right to see those kids, unless you've been court ordered not to see them.
I've been court ordered, and nobody will tell me why. We'll get specific, I should say. She told the court I had a mental issue.
Well, you might want to get an attorney and say, here's the deal. Maybe we should revisit this in court here.
The best deal I got out of the attorney, they told me to close my business, sell everything I have, and hit the road.
There's a lot going on here, Ed. This is not therapy, so I can't be doing digging. Let's go with your situation immediately to go to the funeral.
Yeah. Yes.
She's not going to do anything in public. Come on. She may come over and yell at you, but she'll make herself look bad.
No, I'm scared she's going to call the cops after this is all done. I'm scared she's going to call the cops, and the cops will come knocking at my door. That's what I'm scared of.
And she'll call them about what?
Whatever she wants. She would see me on the street when we're going through our divorce, And I'd get home from work, and there were cops sitting in my yard.
Do you have anybody that could go with you to that funeral?
Oh yeah, my mother's going, but my mother and my other sister's going, but they support her 100%. That's another problem.
Oh, because I was going to say, yeah, you need somebody to be by you so that anything she accuses you of, you have a direct witness. You didn't do any of that stuff. Maybe a buddy.
I mean, my stomach is turning just thinking about it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you here, Ed, to tell you the truth. You got to decide. Only you know how close you are to that brother-in-law and his family, or maybe it's your sister. I don't know. But I think if you don't go, you'll just be telling them, once again, Ed's a jerk. I think you'll do better by going. Because at least you can say, I've come to pay my respects, and I'm showing up in a place where I can at least counter all the terrible things she's tried to tell everybody about me. I'm here. I'm paying respects. I'm saying my prayers. Whatever it is, I'm acting like a decent human being, and maybe there'll be a few folks who say, you know what, I'm wondering if he is every bit as bad as she says he is, or, in fact, some of this stuff is just her vengeance.
She stopped being Catholic.
Well,
she was. When I met her, she was Catholic, and
all that, my friend. I can't get into that because we're not doing therapy here. You requested, do I go? My opinion is you do. I don't think she can do any damage to you. You're there in public, and you're going to show a lot of people that Ed is a decent guy, at least where his brother-in-law's funeral is concerned. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Let's go to Elizabeth. I mean, she called at the top of the show, and she's been real patient. And I'm not sure she's very focused. That could be. Maybe she hasn't paid much attention here. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
You got a kid that the teachers say she's a daydreamer. She's not very focused, right?
Yep, she's chatting with friends or just kind of zoned out.
What are her grades like?
Unfortunately, so she's a young third grader. Her writing and reading is really down. Okay. So,
well, yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense if she's not having an easy time of it at school. One of the first things kids do is retreat. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't look at the work. It's like, this isn't easy. I don't like it. See what else I can do instead. So, unfortunately, here's my experience, and I cannot comment on this in your situation. I'm going to comment on it generically. My experience is teachers are way too quick to refer a parent to say, go get your child checked for ADD or ADHD. Way too quick. Now, I have enormous respect for teachers. The system they're in does not help them at all. However, I would sit down with a teacher and I'd get details. I'd say, if she can't read at a third grade level, if she's immature for her age or she's a young kid for her grade, then would it not be a situation where we need to focus more on the schoolwork? Let the schoolwork come home so she can get it done at home. Here's the other problem. If, in fact, your daughter is a form of attention deficit, which means she's kind of spacey, she kind of drifts off, she doesn't stay focused, she's not really disruptive or impulsive, she's not a behavior problem, then medication doesn't work all that well for those kids. It just doesn't. It works much better for the disruptive kids, and there's a lot of reasons for that, some of them which may not be good. But so I would get more details on this. I mean, I can't say here, in fact, how bad it is. But I will tell you this. One of the big mistakes that people make in suggesting this diagnosis is that they compare the child's attention span with their chronological age. You don't do that. You compare their attention span with their mental age. So if the teacher says, yeah, she's in the third grade, but really, kind of mentally, she's functioning around second grade, Well, then, is her attention span that all out of whack for a second grader, given the work that she doesn't understand? See, those are all questions that need to be asked. The other thing is this. You can't test for ADHD. In your case, it sounds like it's ADD. You can't test for that. You can go to someone and you can give them a history and they can do a ratings form. But there's no blood test. There's nothing. It's a judgment call. So that's what that's about. 877-573-7825. This hour's gone way too fast.
Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We are given many gifts. Everyone is different. And yet when we embrace them, when we accept our gifts and use them as God wants them to be used, His will, not ours, those crosses turn into gifts from which we can learn, grow, and who knows, maybe have an entirely different life than what we planned. Such as the case with me, I never in a million years expected to be in Catholic radio. Never even knew it existed. So the next time you're questioning or struggling, say, okay, God, what can I do with this? What am I supposed to do? Don't bury it. Don't put God in a box and see what He does with that gift, which sometimes comes in the shape of a cross.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Dr. Ray Grandy, Catholic Radio's man for all reasons. Thinking it very close to the speed of thought. Very nice to have you with me. Privileged to be with you. All right. Now, before I go today from Omaha, I've gotten calls, gotten emails, where the friction, the shift, the separation has come from the other direction. In other words, the adults will say, "You don't understand how difficult my parents are to deal with. And for various reasons, we have had to either limit contact or pretty much put distance." Now, I'm going to let Dave have a chance to defend himself here. But I did make it real clear in the beginning of that call, I can't know when a grandparent says they've written me out of their lives where the particular responsibility lies in what proportion. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I do acknowledge that I do hear you provide some, you know, counter and try to provoke some self-examination to the grandparents calling. And I know there's a lot of grandparents that have, you know, valid issues, but a lot of times it seems like it is taken at face value that, you know, the kid is obviously in the wrong, and I'm sure a lot of times they are.
Have you heard me do that?
I guess I've heard a couple calls in the past where they give limited information on
that's it.
On, and then you say, well, it sounds like, yeah, they kind of have just abandoned the faith. But in my experience, I still attend church regularly. Some of my siblings don't. And the hard part is seeing someone that goes to church a lot and is involved and is a complete hypocrite. And especially in your formative years. And I know you shouldn't, your faith shouldn't be dependent on anybody else's behavior. You know, it should be the faith itself. But I do think in my generation, a lot of people that grew up Catholic saw abhorrent behavior from their parents, just in the same way that it might be hard to look at the sex abuse scandal that drives people away. I think in the same way, seeing poor behavior by parents can also do the same thing.
Okay, let's jump in there, Dave.
Yeah.
Are you saying that you have either limited or ended contact with your parents?
I have in the past. When I had my first kid, it was a challenge because it kind of lights went off. I was like, oh my goodness, I would never treat my kid that way. And at that point, I was wrestling with how do I address, you know, my dad, he verbalizes how much he loves his kids, but did a lot of things very, very contrary to that. So wondering, I don't want to deprive him of a relationship with his kids. So trying to have conversations with him, you know, these are things that are concerning. And then of course he denies it, won't have that conversation at all, and then gives silent treatment for a long time.
Is that enough to separate from your dad?
No, in trying again, but trying to address behavior as it comes up, it's just tough because you don't want to necessarily, I wouldn't put my kid in front of a rated R movie at like the age of five, but you know that's a perpetual risk. He's being exposed to rated R material, so to speak.
Wait a minute. Now I want to make sure I understand. So you're saying that your dad is a poor moral influence on your kids?
Yes.
And to the point where his language, his
language,
jokes,
content, picking fights with people, topic selection, getting called, I mean, just monitoring. Basically, yeah. Would you put your kid around a random 17-year-old, would you plop your kid down at a table of 17-year-olds?
And you've told him, you said, hey, Dad, I can't have you doing that around the kids. They're not adults. They don't understand this. We're trying to keep their innocence. I can't have you using that language, those kinds of jokes, those kinds of stories. Can you cool it when you're around the kids? And his attitude is, no, I am who I am. Accept it.
A little bit of both. We've had some where then it's good for a little while and then isn't. And we're in contact now, but there's an out with another sibling where they brought something up, and there's what happens is a lot of times, well, I can tell you don't like this, and then there's silent treatment for 6 months, and then pretends like nothing happens. That's another concern is the temporary silent treatment.
And then so wait a minute, he withdraws from you because when you try to get him to stop, he gets mad. And he stays away from you.
Yeah.
All right. You're not doing it. He's doing it.
Sometimes. Yes. And then it can be a little bit of both, but sometimes a lot of times he's initiating that if you try to get the behavior. But then I have other siblings that they've withdrawn, and then he acts confused as to why they're withdrawing. It's kind of like a cycle. Someone's withdrawing from someone, and then
how about your mom?
And the thing is, only one person's confused, and that's why I'm calling it. It's the grandparent that he's the only one that's confused. Everyone else communicating with the siblings, they all know what's going on.
How about your mom? How about your mom?
They're not married anymore.
Okay, all right. So when he does this, is he at your house or do you go to his?
He's at our house or in the community somewhere.
Okay, because I say it's relatively easy if you're at his, you can say, "Hey, Dad, we're going to get gone. This is not something I want the kids to hear." That's easy enough. And maybe you can tell him, "Hey, Dad, I don't want to have no relationship with you, but I got to tell you, if you just don't respect what we're trying to keep the kids innocent from, then we're just going to visit you at your house. And if it happens, we're going to leave." Now, at which point, he'll get really, really mad, and he probably won't talk to you for a year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but you didn't do anything wrong. He put you in a corner. You said, "Dad, I don't want to write you off. Dad, please." It's kind of like the parent who wants to babysit the kids and lets them watch every rot-gut movie their parents would never let them watch because their attitude is, "You know, your parents are too strict. I'm going to give you the real cultural thing here." That grandparent forces the parent to make a decision. So that seems like that's the situation you're in. And if he's not gonna back off, I don't know. He could come into my office and say, "Yeah, you know what I did? I said the word damn one time and they went nuts." You know,
I wish it was that. Yeah.
Okay, I know that. Yeah. So I'm just simply saying I'm gonna take you at your word that he can be pretty vulgar around your kids. And your kids are little, and you just don't want them to hear this stuff. And it seems to me that's legitimate reason to say, "Dad, can't have you doing that. And if you're going to keep doing it, then I'm going to just come to your house so that we can leave anytime it starts."
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah, and we try to do those things. Meet in public and whatnot. And I mean, he's very charismatic. I mean, I guess it's, kind of a clinical narcissist. Check every box is checked. So, you know, very charismatic. The kids enjoy him. A lot of people that aren't, in closed doors, he's a great guy, and he is in a lot of ways, but there's also a lot of damaging interactions.
Well, one thing I would say this, Dave, I don't know how much of this is your upset toward your dad or resentment because, as you put it, he was a hypocrite. He went to Mass and he folded his hands, but yet at the same time, as a father, he really wasn't, in your experience, all that solid a dad. And so now, even now, he goes to church and he's pretty holy looking, and yet at the same time, he does all this that people don't know anything about. I don't know how much that's playing on your head. I mean, that could make you pretty bitter.
Can I ask one more question?
One more. Yeah, I'm past break.
How do you navigate? I guess one thing is like just starting fights with people in public. Like, that's a very common thing. Like threatening to kick someone's, just going off the handle.
Is he starting fights with you?
No, because I don't know how to navigate that.
Okay, but, I mean, so even, if you're out in public and he's doing this, he's embarrassing you, you can leave.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit there.
Limiting kid contact when you see like that, you have, should you put your kids around someone?
I don't know how old your kids are, Dave. I got to let you go. I don't know how old your kids are. But there comes to be a certain point where you can explain to them, "Grandpa does that, and it's not right." Okay?
Yeah.
But that's my dad, and I don't want to totally write him off. You know, if your kids are 7, 8, 9, 10, they can understand that. And it doesn't mean because they see it, they're going to absorb it. You can use it as what the shrinks would call a teachable moment to say, "Grandpa shouldn't be doing that. We don't do that. It's not right that he does that, and he's got a temper, and he gets carried away. And guys, when that happens, we're going to do our best to get out of there."
Yeah.
I think that what you're worried about, which is, my kids are going to be around somebody that's a jerk, and what it's going to do is it's going to just absolutely affect them. Probably not. Not if you tell them that is jerky. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. I got to run. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together
is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me our EWTN family prayer. Today we pray for the caregivers of the sick. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You have first loved us, and through your Son you have taught us the excellence of self-giving love. Give to those who are caregivers of a sick parent or child, brother or sister, the assistance of your holy angels. Lessen their burdens and give them great joy in practicing a work of mercy. And since charity is never forgotten by you, reveal to them their heavenly reward. Amen.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
One quick call here. I got to get to it fast. Rico from Alabama. Hello, Rico. What a ticklish situation.
Yay, Dr. Ray. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You want me to just reiterate here? Basically, our son had a what he thought was his child, and he lived with the girlfriend. They had broken up, and she got pregnant, and you know, when they had broken up, 4 weeks later, she said, hey, I'm going to have your baby. He never questioned it. He's been taking care of that baby. They live in separate, you know, amenities for now. And anyways, he loves that little boy, and we love that little boy. And he's, you know, he saved her. He saved the baby from an abortion. You know, she thought about it, and when he went and said, hey, look, this baby doesn't look like me, everybody was asking him, this baby just doesn't look like me. We just thought, well, you know, she's got strong genes, but we have strong genes too. So our son went out and did a DNA, and he was just destroyed. He said, hey, Mom, Dad, can you guys do a DNA test with it? And everything came back negative. She still denies it. She says, no, it's your baby. She's in full denial. My question is, I mean, he's got full access to the baby. They're in good friends. She's already moved on with another relationship. But my big fear is, you know, I think, doctor, there's a spiritual battle that we deal with in this world right now. And I feel like the lies and deceptions can take over. You know, I don't know how to confront her. My wife wants to basically write a letter and just, you know, let
Why?
Her know how much she's hurt.
Why? She's denying it. She's denying the genetic testing. So if she's going to deny genetic testing, why would she accept your perspective? I think your bigger question is this.
Mm-hmm.
How much is your wife or your son going to stay involved in that little guy's life?
He's committed forever, he says.
Okay, there you go. You answered your question.
Okay.
What would you say? Would you say, okay, well, just admit that it's biologically not his child? And let's say she says, okay, I admit it. Then is he going to say, okay, goodbye? He's not going to do that,
no,
is he?
He won't.
Okay. So the bottom line is he's effectively taking over his part, however much she allows him, in raising this child. Now, I don't know if she's getting child support from it. Probably not, because she's saying it's not his. But yet at the same time, she's letting him see the child, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They share the child. They have family day on Sunday.
Okay.
But again, my thing is like, you know, if she's willing to deny it, I'm just wondering what is the next level? What if this other fellow that she's dating decides to, hey, you know, we're moving out and we're getting married and, you know, where's my son gonna, you know, it's kind of like I'm trusting her, and but my son's heart.
You're taking a risk. Rico, you're taking a risk. That's exactly right.
Yep, my son is.
But here's the thing. If she goes that route, you have the genetic testing. And you can go to court. You can say, this is my biological son. And the court will say...
No, it's my son. It's not his son.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I screwed that up.
I'm my son's. I'm the grandfather.
Okay.
He doesn't want this.
Okay. Call me back. There's more complexities here, and I only got 20 seconds, Rico. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have to cut you off. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me here. The clock is a tyrant. Rico, call back. Walk with God. You walk with God as much as you can. You don't get quite so many complex situations.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Well, hello, guys.